Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman here from BetweenTheRopes.com. A lot to get to this week. We'll talk about Raw from Monday night. We'll also talk about Battleground, which is coming up this Sunday on the WWE Network. Plenty of other news and notes to go along with all of that. We do want to thank everybody for joining us here and for checking out BetweenTheRopes.com. Of course, if you're here, that means you're checking out our YouTube channel. And we're hoping that you've already subscribed to us. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe now. Subscribe to our channel here. Feel free to like our videos, share them, and make comments as well. Plus, we've got a chat room open. You can take part in the conversation. You can also leave some comments for this broadcast on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/betweentheropes. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And if you just want to listen to the audio version of the podcast, of this and of other podcasts that we do, you can do that as well. Find us on iTunes or on Stitcher, and you can rate us and review us there. And also a special thank you to everybody that is supporting us on Patreon. We'll have more about that coming up, plus our giveaway of the week for everybody that is supporting us on Patreon as well. You can find that at patreon.com/betweentheropes. So how you doing this week, Mike?
Doing good. Small point, technicality of clarification here. They are not necessarily watching us on YouTube if they're listening to the audio version, so you can't say, of course. Sorry, Brian. Also, I guess we got to get this. Let's get this out of the way to start with. We'll get to the beer of the week in a minute and all the fun stuff, but some guy, speaking of YouTube, some guy has been calling you out for weeks now about that Canadian Destroyer comment.
It was a Canadian Destroyer by John Cena. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, my light just went out. What just happened? We just started the broadcast and my light went out.
You know what? It's karma, baby. He said it's not a Canadian Destroyer. You stuck to your guns, and look what happened.
God, hold down the fort here for a minute, man.
It's a one-man show. I guess this is a great time to introduce our beer of the week. That would be, this week, we have the Great Lakes Brewing Company, straight out of Cleveland, Ohio. And they're bringing me the High Striker Single. It is a, as they call it, a handcrafted Belgian-style ale. You know, one of those fancy foreign-type beers. I don't really know what Belgian-style means entirely.
Is it an IPA?
It's not an IPA. It's a Belgian-style beer. I think it's a little bit lighter. It's only 4.8%. It's not high gravity like that one week where I was kind of tipsy by the end of the show. But
Stone Cold will not be pleased because he likes his IPAs, you know.
Yeah, well, there you go. We've got some good friends up in Cleveland. Austin is a big IPA. He also likes to drink boxed wine, so I don't really know if those two things go together. But yeah, Great Lakes Brewing Company, High Striker Single, and we'll be ready to start the show. So
there we go.
There we go. And you're ready to go too, it looks like.
I got a light going again here. Luckily, I have a backup light. I thought that it was going to make it for another week, but I guess not.
So Canadian Destroyer? What were we talking about, right?
The guy says it's not Canadian Destroyer. The movie that John Cena did, to me, that is a Canadian Destroyer. I don't know what he's talking about.
What was this guy's name? This guy's name was like Barry something, right?
Is it Barry Doby?
No. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Barry's in the chat room right now.
Oh, man. Is he? This is going to get real. Let me. Barry, was that you? Give me a shout out in the chat room if that was you.
I thought it was a Canadian Destroyer. I'm going to back that up because I'm stubborn.
So you're gonna support your argument, or you're just gonna keep saying the same thing?
I'm gonna keep saying the same thing and support my argument because I believe it to be true, and that's all you need for the truth is to believe something, right?
Well, let's be specific here. It's Robert Billing.
Okay. You weren't even close. My God. Sorry, Barry.
Yeah, sorry, but it's good to have you in the chat room, Barry. So there you go.
There you go. So yeah,
Robert Billing. Brian Fritz still says you're wrong, and he is not going to give you that apology you so desire.
Yeah, what does he want an apology about, man? I mean, he knows I'm right. Oh.
Stubborn.
Even if I am wrong, I still think I'm right.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, I want to point something out that I know by the end of this broadcast, I am probably going to be in darkness. I will totally admit that, and I apologize. It's just the lighting in my room, the way that it's set up right now. But I did splurge And I've got a new light I'm going to set up for next week's broadcast.
So you're not using it right now. It's not the light that's
It just came in, and I didn't have time to set it up. I got to set it up. I got to play around with it. I got to see if I got to change my setup to use it, or where can I set it up at. But, yes, I do have another light.
You feel fancy now?
No, I don't. Not until I use it and see how it works. So.
Are you going to have like multiple lights set up in your room? It's going to look like a movie studio, like right there behind. Macho Man's going
to
be.
I would like to do that. I mean, I just got to change my setup if I want to do something like that, because I need to move back because I'm kind of against the wall and there's no space for lights right here. But I actually had somebody come over this week that is an expert in photography and lighting, and he was telling me about my setup. So. Trying to fix that a little bit rather than the glare on Macho Man's face and me being shrouded in darkness.
But I have the same problem. Can he come visit me too? Can he pay me a visit? Because I have the same problem with Spider-Man, the other side. Spider-Man in the background, see? A little bit of light. You can see where my light's coming from.
Yeah, but you're covering it up with your fat head.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say my fat headphones, but...
Well, you know. That just makes it even fatter.
Don't mince words, Brian, please.
Let's put it this way. Would you... We could fit a six-pack of beer in a hat that you would wear.
Don't we need to talk about Raw or something? This is starting to turn
into... Do you want to tell everybody about the exciting news about a little trip that I'm going to be making that you've been wanting me to make and now is going to happen?
That is... you called me a week ago and gave me... So you said, guess what I did? And of course, with you, Lord knows what you've done or what you want me to guess that you've done. July 4th, actually, and I was at Target for some strange reason. Anyway... Walking out, I call you back, and you told me you were coming. You had just bought a plane ticket that this year, in November, you are coming to WrestleCade.
I'm coming to WrestleCade.
Coming to WrestleCade.
Everybody has been warned that Winston-Salem. Is it Winston-Salem?
Yeah, baby.
Okay, good. That Winston-Salem, the Saturday following Thanksgiving, that we will be there. I am making the voyage. I am flying up that morning, like a 6 o'clock in the morning flight, to get there, because I believe that the festivities for us will begin like at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be going on all day long. So it'll be a long day for me, but that's okay.
You've heard us talk, if you've listened to the show regularly for the last 6 months or a year, you've heard me talk about WrestleCade before. It is a big event the weekend after Thanksgiving. Benefits go to support Toys for Tots, which is a really awesome program put on right here. People come from all across the state and across the region to this show. It is a big show. It regularly sells out. I mean, it is an indie promotion, but it's not like your school gym indie promotion. They have it down at LJBM in downtown Winston. You get a lot of big names. Last year's main event was Drew Galloway versus Matt Hardy for the WrestleCade Championship. It was a great no DQ match.
I think you're forgetting somebody that else was in the match.
No, that was it, man. That was all the... Oh, Johnny Fairplay. Okay. I think I've called him out before. Your Survivor buddy, good friends with .NET, Jason Powell, right? Johnny Fairplay was also in the main event as a guest something another. I don't really know. All I know
Son
is...
Son of a called... God, I just had a second light go out of me. What the hell is going on?
Not your day. Not your day. The main event, I guess Fairplay was supposed to be supporting Drew Galloway or something like that and representing him as his manager. Johnny Fairplay unfortunately called him McIntyre and screwed it up. And then I wrote an article about it, right? Because that's what I do. And I actually got a message on Facebook from Johnny Fairplay who said, I really liked your article. It's a shame I couldn't share it, because you left out somebody in the main event. And I said, who? And he said, me. And I said, oh, didn't realize you were in the main event. And, you know, he was just being kind of a jerk to me about it. But, yeah, it was a great show. It's always a great show. People come from across the region to come see it. If you are in the area, please come by and say, hey, we'll be doing some video footage. We'll be doing some other media. It's two events, though. It's the daytime event that is basically like a convention. There's a lot of legends that come through. Last year we had Scott Steiner. We had, of course, all the names that were at WrestleCade. We had the weekend after Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast came out with CM Punk, the one that blew up the charts. He was there. I got to talk to him for a little bit. Of course, he was in action. Just a laundry list of guys from the indies. WrestleCade brings in a bunch of big names. The highlight of it was Scott Steiner, who snubbed me for an interview. I asked him for a few questions. There was nobody standing around him whatsoever. And I said, hey, can I get a quote from you? You know, walked up to him. And Steiner was like, nah, I'm busy. And then, of course, it's a family-friendly show. Brian, where are you going?
I'm coming over here.
Brian, Fritz, come back to the show, man. Come back to the show. It's okay. We'll move on.
Damn it.
Please.
Where's my backup battery, damn it?
I'm floundering here, man. This is not good. Scott Steiner. So it's a family-friendly show. If you're not familiar, it's a family-friendly show. And Scott Steiner shows up.
Battery, man.
It's gonna be okay. This is live TV, baby.
I should have been better prepared. Now I'm in the dark over here. I gotta use another light that's gonna suck and you know all that stuff.
If you support us on Patreon, we'll get Brian Fritz another light. That's
jeez almighty. I gotta use my laptop here, which is gonna be like an interrogation lamp over here. This is what everybody at TNA was undergoing when they were all finding out if they were the one that was talking to me about not being paid.
That's right. That's also the exact same lighting setup that everybody in Ring of Honor wrestles under on a weekly basis.
Yeah, probably. So I'm going to have to do this.
Can I finish my Scott Steiner story? Are you good?
Yeah, finish Scott Steiner story.
Scott Steiner ignored me for an interview. He snubbed me. Okay, that's fine. Have your way, Scott Steiner. And I got great quotes from Matt Hardy, from Galloway, from some legends. Larry Zbysko was there, WWE Hall of Famer. We had a ton of great guys there. Hacksaw Jim Duggins. But... Scott Steiner that night shows up for a 6-man tag match, I believe. Ooh. And it's supposed to be a family-friendly show. And the first thing he does is grab the microphone and cut a heel promo and drop a few F-bombs. And, of course, the promoters were none too happy about that. But Scott Steiner is definitely a prick. And I won't be hitting him up for any more interviews. So there you go. Hall, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, X-Pac were all here last year. They didn't wrestle, but they were around. It's a great show, so if you're coming out, let us know. We'll grab a beer after the show with you. And, you know, it'll be a great time.
I just want to see how long you can keep going, because I know people are enthralled by this, rather than us talking about Raw and everything else going on.
You're doing stuff, man. WrestleCade. This is the WrestleCade hour now, right?
I'm just going to let you keep going, you know. You wanted your moment in the sun, so now you got it.
We're having it Sunday. Should I tell everybody the plan?
Sunday.
This is the plan, right?
Okay.
The plan for Battleground?
Yes. Because unfortunately, I'm not going to be around for the Battleground post show.
Yeah, or most fortunately, as I like to think.
Yeah. Everybody can join us on Sunday night immediately following Battleground. We'll have the post Battleground show here, the live version of Between the Ropes here on YouTube. But I will not be doing it. It will be Michael and
Michael A. Wiseman. That's right.
Mm.
Doing the one-man show this week. What do you think?
No, you're not.
Then it's going to be awesome. I'll even set up two cameras, and I'll go back and forth. What do you think, Michael? Well, I think. And it'll be an interesting dynamic.
What are you, like Shatner singing Rocket Man now all of a sudden?
Austin interviewed himself for a podcast. Remember, he interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He did?
We'll do that. Yeah, one of his early ones. He interviewed himself. It was awesome.
Was that more entertaining than Will Sasso playing the role of Stone Cold on Piper's podcast?
That was hilarious. I loved that. I think it was very, very funny.
Mm.
But
okay, you stalled enough. Let's get into it.
That was a lot of genuine talk. That was not stalling. I had lots of stuff to say today. And I'm not done.
Keep going then.
No. I got some stuff to say about Raw. Mm. I'm going to cost people out.
Whoa, you're going to call people out?
That's a first, right?
Well, where do you want to start? You want to start with Brock Lesnar or you want to start with the ladies?
We want to start in a high note or a low note?
Oh, there was a low note between one of those two. Whoa. Let's start with the high note because I want the big reveal. So what in your mind between those two was the high note?
I liked the stuff with Brock Lesnar. I think it was well done. And I think it gave Seth Rollins a ton of credibility. And I loved the whole "I'm gonna burn Suplex City to the ground" segment that ended the show, and the fact that they let the champion close everything out after Brock Lesnar went on his rampage. It was good television.
Well, it's funny because so they do the closing segment where they're doing the contract signing, and you know Kane had a plan, told Rollins to trust him, and the plan was that they had hit an axe handle in the table and they were going to attack Lesnar. But when Rollins was fuddling around for it, Paul Heyman noticed. And Brock Lesnar noticed. So they called him on it. Brock tipped over the table, found the axe handle. excuse me. And he wasn't threatened in the least. So he put the handle on the table and was like, okay, do your damnedest with it. And when Seth got it, Lesnar not only popped up, grabbed the table and bull rushed Seth, knocked him out of the ring, then attacked Kane, had them both out of the ring, and then they were putting the boots to Brock. So Brock was down, he's getting beaten up. And before a pedigree could be hit, here comes Brock with the big comeback. He's taking out both guys. He F5s Kane on the floor, poor guy. And then Seth ran off, and Kane was laying there over by the ring steps when it came ajar. And perfect spot where his leg just happened to be laying on the bottom half of the ring steps. So Brock picked up the top half and slammed it down on his leg. So effectively breaking his leg, breaking his ankle, breaking his foot, whatever it is. I think they're going with ankle.
Yeah.
So he's screaming in pain. Brock leaves. Seth comes back out to the ring and starts talking about, you know what? I'm not afraid of you. You know, others are afraid. You've slain all these other people, but you haven't gotten me. You haven't gotten me yet. And I'm going to get you on Sunday. And then when he gets out of the ring, he's still mad at Kane, points out that his plan sucked, and he kicked Kane while he was down, literally. And it's funny because before they had done the injury angle with Kane, it sure seemed like, well, you know, Kane's going to get involved. Kane could get involved on Sunday. Or even after they had done that, you were thinking, well, maybe Kane will get his revenge on Rollins on Sunday. So that's the way they can get out of all of this. But they've since announced that Kane is out indefinitely with an ankle injury or with a broken ankle or whatever it is. So now you're thinking, well, I don't think Kane's going to get involved.
Yeah, I liked the story they told with Kane. So if anything, last night, while it was a build towards WWE Battleground, and it was the telling of Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar and the contract signing and everything that goes along with that for this Sunday, it was interesting that they had so much of a focus on Kane last night. And at the beginning of the show, Paul Heyman called out the fact that Kane is storyline The Undertaker's brother.
And baby brother,
exactly. And they kind of use it to needle him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And how they destroyed the streak. And then for them to bring that back around and destroy Kane at the end of the night, I think it was a well-done angle, and it really made that whole – it sold the night. That whole car destroying thing was a lot of fun, but it was kind of forgettable. And they brought the car back out last night. It was kind of forgettable. Last night, they told a meaningful story between these two guys, and they used Kane as good leverage for this. And I think it was a powerful moment to see Brock Lesnar bring down the chairs, and even more powerful to see Seth Rollins kind of rise from the ashes and be like, I'm doing it anyway, basically.
Well, that, you know, it's funny because with Battleground, the selling point of that show is this main event. If you're interested in it, it's mostly because Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins are going to have
Well, Kevin Owens and John Cena.
Well, that wasn't pushed that as hard, though. I mean, the Lesnar-Rollins match was super pushed, okay? So that is the focal point from WWE's standpoint. There are obviously some other matches, and that being the second biggest. But to me, this is the match that they were really putting their emphasis on. And you saw that the last couple of weeks, but especially on Monday night. And I agree. I like the way that they did everything. I was worried about, you know, are they setting up outs at Battleground that we can kind of see like, oh, okay, here's how they're going to do it. Here's how Brock's not going to win the title, or could they do a DQ, or could somebody get involved, or I really don't know what they're going to do when it comes right now. I like it that Rollins isn't, you know, a chicken and he's totally running away from Brock. I mean, he did at the end, but then he got back in the ring and then he was bragging about, I'm going to stand up to the man. Kane's out of the picture. You know, Brock was getting beaten down, but yet he rose up after getting kicked, you know, by two guys. And just when it looked like he was going to stay down, nope, that's Brock Lesnar. He's superhuman. So he came back to life and was beating them both up and obviously took out Kane. So I think it adds a lot of intrigue into Sunday when it comes to Battleground, because I honestly don't know exactly what they're going to do. I mean, I think it's going to be a really good match. I have no idea if Lesnar's going to win, if Rollins going to win, how they do it, what exactly the game plan is here. And that's the way that it should be for a show like this. You know, I've always said this, that even if I think I know where they're going, and even if it's the simplest route, and the safest route. That doesn't mean it's the wrong one, but it's also great sometimes when you just don't know exactly where they're going. And that's kind of the feeling that I have for the show.
And it's been so many months now since WrestleMania, and you kind of have known for so many months that Seth Rollins was going to retain, that he wasn't going to lose the title, that he wasn't in big jeopardy of giving it up, taking a pinfall to somebody and giving up the belt, that it's nice that this pay-per-view is a little bit more unpredictable. And I think Brock Lesnar is a big focal point for that. And the fact that SummerSlam is, what, 6 weeks away? So this is kind of where you want to be heading into SummerSlam. Gather up some momentum, get the intrigue going, and then coming out of Sunday, we're going into SummerSlam, the second biggest show of the year. I like it. I hope that they do right by Seth Rollins. That's a concern of mine, because he's looking more and more credible, and Brock Lesnar could very easily bring that back down, especially if it's not a good give and take, or they weaken him too much. I like him as a, as they say, the chicken beep heel. I like that, but you could destroy him on Sunday if you're not careful. So we'll see. My thoughts on this, though, are that people have been predicting Triple H versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. You could still do that. I think it's telling to a certain extent that Triple H has not been out there in recent weeks that much, and that he didn't make an appearance last night, because if you're going to set up Seth Rollins and Triple H at SummerSlam, you start that story on Sunday. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, they could. I mean, I don't know if they can do that and how it would work when it comes to Roman, though. That's the thing, because Roman's been cooled so much. Do you really want to put him in a match with Lesnar? And if Lesnar doesn't come away with the title, okay, and you would theoretically think that, you know, if he doesn't win the title on Sunday, by hook or by crook, however it goes, that do you really want to then put him on SummerSlam against Roman Reigns in a match that theoretically you would think he would lose?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think
there's a lot of ifs and ups, you know, I'm not exactly sure where they're going with a lot of this, but I mean, there's so many different variables that it's, you know, the picture's not going to be clearer until after Battleground to how we're going to get to SummerSlam and what the thinking is when it comes to the top of the card.
I think it could be, I mean, it seems to me they've been convinced, Vince McMahon has been convinced that Roman Reigns is their guy. And so pairing him with Brock Lesnar again in some kind of WrestleMania rematch could be fun. I just don't know that I want it for the title again. I like the idea of the championship match being something different, even if it's a three-way, even if we come into SummerSlam, a triple threat match, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, at least it's something different, and it builds a little bit more intrigue. I don't know that I want to see Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns fight for the title again, because if that's the case, Roman Reigns is walking out of there with the championship. No doubt.
What if somehow Brock got screwed out of the championship at Battleground, Kevin Owens wins the U.S. championship, and is laughing about Brock Lesnar and his luck, and the two of them square off at SummerSlam?
So Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar for the United States Championship?
Yes.
At that point, I'm going to tell you something. If that happens, your United States Championship is the most prestigious title in the company, hands down.
Well, Owens is already thrown out there. I mean, everybody throws out their dream matches, you know, but he says he wants to face Lesnar. And the way that he's being booked, and with Lesnar being a heel right now, I'm not saying it's out of the picture.
Lesnar's not a heel. He's babyface.
No, I'm saying Owens is a heel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That could work. I think it would be smarter to save that for WrestleMania or even Royal Rumble. That would be a great match for Rumble. I don't know. It almost feels a little bit premature. Because maybe. I don't know. I think even that Bray Wyatt situation where Bray Wyatt was put into some good positions, but then he didn't win any of those, and so his breakthrough never really happened. And I think Kevin Owens, while many people think he's had his breakthrough moment, I think he needs a meaningful feud after this John Cena back and forth to really cement him in the main event. Otherwise, he's a mid-card.
Well, other than if we – depending on what happens at Battleground, we could very easily get a couple of rematches from that show to happen at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
When it comes to Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt, that could happen again. You could easily get Lesnar versus Rollins again.
Okay.
I don't know what they do with Cena and with Owens.
They wouldn't do that many. I mean, I could see them doing a rubber match between Cena and Owens. I think you're
doing a rubber match at Battleground.
But you said a few weeks ago, you're the one who said this, that maybe there is some kind of fluky finish here. And they've kind of set that up with bringing in all these new contenders like Cesaro, like Rusev. You could have a fluke finish here, and you could set up the real rubber match at SummerSlam, make it a 2 out of 3 falls match or 3 stages of hell, go all in and say, at the end of the day, this is where Owens and Cena settle the score.
Maybe. And then in the meantime, you do Cesaro against Rusev.
Okay, I could buy that. That would be fun.
I mean, that they started setting that up already, you know, on Raw. So
Rusev and his new wrestling, collegiate wrestling boots.
Yeah, now he's got boots, man. No more exposing the foot.
God, they need to get him, like, okay, I understand he can't wrestle in bare feet because he rolled his ankle or broke his ankle or et cetera. But those boots looked super, super tacky. Like, at least get him some, I think, real wrestling boots or some kind of, like, more specialized wrestling shoe would look better than that unlaced kind of shenanigans he had on last night.
Those boots did not hurt him when it came to playing Street Fighter 4 along with his buddies and the Up, Up, Down, Down channel.
So
you're
I
welcome.
Haven't...
You're welcome, Xavier Woods.
I haven't seen the segment yet or the video yet. What happened in the...
Well, they're playing Street Fighter 4, and you've got Sandow as a Mandow rapping, and then they're all playing video games and just cracking on one another, and it's... who all was playing? You got Rusev, you've got Xavier Woods, who's going by Austin Creed. And who else was involved in that? God, I don't know why I can't remember now. But it was great. I mean, just watching Rusev, and they were coming up with names for everybody, or here's what we're calling this guy, and here's what we're calling that guy, and, you know.
Kayfabe is dead, huh? We got heels and...
Basically, kayfabe.
Kayfabe is dead.
Hold on, I'll have it here. Who was playing in that game? I don't know why I can't. It was, oh, Kofi's in there. And, oh, Heath Slater's in there too.
There you go.
And I'll tip one little thing on there. Heath Slater, not a good gamer.
He's not really good at anything, is he?
Oh, my God, man. You're just kicking the man while he's down. What's wrong with you?
Nobody tell Heath Slater I said that. He seems like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, if you were very positive about Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, that means you did not like the debut of the NXT women, the trios, coming up to Raw.
Let me frame that a little bit better. I love the fact that there are NXT divas who are genuinely good wrestlers. And so let me rephrase that. NXT women. Who are genuinely good wrestlers who came up to the main roster last night. I think it's fantastic. But I think that entire segment was botched. I think, as Francis would say, and as I'm going to say right here, it was another damaged angle. Because you had Stephanie McMahon, first off, Stephanie McMahon, who I thought was a heel, introducing these women who were supposed to be baby faces. And the only way they can think to introduce them is by having them pair up with big sister divas on the main roster. And then you have this really screwy brawl that was not that good, was not clean, and the women's wrestling down in NXT is super clean. If it's not anything else, it is pristine. It is brutal. It is hardcore, but it is clean. And you have this awkward brawl that went back and forth, and it's really bad setup. I mean, that entire setup for them to be putting on their submission moves, and that's kind of what they closed with. It was fake. It was not good storytelling, and it did nothing to cement them. And it's the same problem the tag team division has right now. You have a bunch of people in there, and there's no meaning behind any of us. Look at all these people we have. The reason the women's wrestling down in NXT is so popular right now is because they're real characters with genuine stories telling the wrestling stories that people want to see. And I think last night they screwed it up real bad.
I won't go as far as saying they screwed it up really bad, but I was super excited, like a lot of other people, that they debuted. And I think everybody was really surprised when the first one that came out was Becky Lynch. And by the way, yes, I am using the terminology debut, even though I know we've seen Charlotte, okay, on Raw. But that's just the terminology we're going to use here. But, you know, you had Becky Lynch come out, then you had Charlotte, and then Sasha Banks. I thought we got bit convoluted was the amount of women that were out there, because in the end you had 9 women, which was just too much. I thought there wasn't as much emphasis on the NXT women at that point because there were so many out there. And plus, you had Naomi talking. You had the wrong person introducing the NXT women because the whole storyline is supposed to be that Team Bella's dominating, especially Nikki, and Paige needs help. Instead of having Paige come out there and say, my reinforcements have arrived, the ones that I've talked about, and they introduce some of the women from NXT, it was Stephanie going out there in a power role again, like you said, as a babyface, the devilish McMahon, and she's the one that's saying women are empowered more so than ever before in sports. The women here stink, so we're bringing in reinforcements. We're bringing in the good ones from NXT. So I thought that was just done wrong. I thought it could have been a lot simpler and been a lot more effective by having Paige introduce them and then doing something there. It's weird, too, the way they did it with Sasha, because now she's with Naomi and Tamina. And it was like they introduced Charlotte and Becky, like, hey, these are the good ones. But yet Sasha, oh, she's the bad girl. She's with them. Mind you, on NXT, they just turned Sasha Banks babyface. Okay. So there was just a little bit of elements I thought was kind of weird. I thought they should have had all the NXT women together. And then when the time comes, they just say, hey, you know what? We have this common bond coming from NXT. But that's as far as the bond goes, and we're going our separate ways. You could do that, and you could have those three women against Team Bella. You could have somebody else in Team Bella, and you could have Paige, and you could have an eight-person tag. I thought they could have done that. It would have been a lot more effective. And one other thing, too, and I don't know if they're still going to do this. They probably are not because, I mean, it would have happened last night. If they want to go the extra length, and I know it sounds like a small thing, but in the end, I really don't think it is because it means a lot. If you want to go that extra length to talk about, we are determined to have this women's revolution and empower women. Don't call them divas on the main roster. Call it the women's division. That's what they call it in NXT. Sasha Banks has talked about that in the past, even with an interview with me from before she won the title and saying, this is the women's division here. They have divas up in the main roster, but it's the women's division here. We take a lot of pride in that. And if they want to really have this change, they need to make that the women's division.
Could not agree more. And bring back the women's belt. That divas belt with the butterfly on it makes me sick. But building off of your points, I think what really weakened them in my mind was, like you said, the fact that they got brought up to be with Paige. It didn't come out of their own volition. I think it's a really good point because it almost makes it seem like they're pawns, like they're independent thinkers, like they're Stephanie McMahon's pawns, which weakens them automatically in my mind. You look at the way that other great wrestlers have come up from NXT and debuted and the impact they've made and how they've done it. They've done it as individual wrestlers or as tag teams. They've not done it in this weird, oh, look, we're part of a division kind of segment. You didn't bring up Kevin Owens as part of the United States title division. You brought him up as a singles wrestler, and he made an impact. You brought up Paige back in the day. She came out and challenged AJ Lee for the title. And yes, she won it, which was really cool. You can't do that again. I understand that. But she came out and said, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm taking this moment for myself. And it did not feel like that last night. It felt like, oh, look, we're expanding our roster. That's what it felt like. And that's not how you do this. Those women get lost. If you were to ask a casual fan today who had no idea who those three women were, who the three women who debuted on NXT or on WWE from NXT were last night, I guarantee you they would have a hard time naming all three. And the reason for that is because we heard their names a few times from the announcing team. Stephanie McMahon said it, but the spotlight was not on them as individuals. And so I think there were a lot of ways they mismanaged this, and I think just crowding out the Divas division is the worst way to do it. I think having some kind of rebellious, not a faction, but saying, like you said, yeah, we're women. We're going to come up and kick y'all's butts because we're not Divas. We're like kind of like that whole thing Paige has been doing, and we're here to own this place. I think it would have made them all stand out because they don't need to be part of a faction or a team. They just need to go out there and kick butt and show off the same skills they've been showing off on NXT for weeks. And you know what? It doesn't need to even involve the title. Heck, just bring them up and let them have some singles matches with whoever. AJ Lee versus Charlotte would be a money feud. And you could debut Charlotte as a heel. I know I love her personally, obviously. And I know that she is super over. Debut her as a heel. Have her go up against Paige. She is a made woman on that main roster.
Well, you know, that was kind of the weird stuff when it came to the women. And I think the bottom line is we can sit here and we can talk about how they debuted them. But it all comes down to how do those women, how does the division get used going forward? Do they take it a little bit more serious? Do they give them more time? Do they put more of an emphasis on their in-ring work and allow that to happen, like what has been going on in NXT? Or is it that these women are going to mix into what they're already doing? And they're going to be the three that stand out in the ring. But even then, maybe they still have short matches. So we can sit and we could talk about it, but it all depends on what WWE has planned going forward and how they actually utilize that. What is the game plan and will they actually stick to it? And I think the first telltale sign about that is going to be when they have somebody face Nikki, will it really be a good match? And do they take the title off of Nikki? That remains to be seen.
And let's frame this correctly. Nikki is not the greatest women's wrestler of all time. She's not the greatest diva of all time.
But she's fine.
She has. She's earned her way into being a good wrestler. Not a great one, but a pretty good one.
I was told this. I didn't see it, of course. On Total Divas, she was bragging about being the John Cena of the Divas division.
I think that's a fair comparison. Yep, I think it is. I think her sister could use a little bit more work in the ring, but I think Nikki's...
I guess Nikki was bragging on that show about how she needs to be there to save all the other women, and she compared herself to being John Cena, so...
I guess all I know about Total Divas besides the infamous lumberjack scene is that Eva Marie is all over that show, and we have yet to see her wrestle a match. Is that
She's
correct?
She's training to wrestle right now with Brian Kendrick, and I guess the main storyline of the show this year is that WWE wants her to train and become a wrestler and bring her to the main roster, and all the other women hate her guts.
Mm.
And just think like she's being handed too much and she's spoiled and she sucks and you name it. So
there was another thing about the debut last time, talking about Charlotte, and people in the chat room pointed this out. I think it's fine to give her the figure four leg lock. I understand that is a good move for her to have because
you
of
mean
her
the figure eight. Hello. It's twice as good as Ric Flair.
Right. But my concern is you can't just make her a mini Nate. And I think you let her live off that name, and I think that's awesome. But if all she is mini Nate in a female form, it is bad for her. She is like an Amazonian princess out there, just ready to, she's like Wonder Woman, okay? If you're a comic book fan, Wonder Woman is this tall, strong, independent woman who's beautiful, who's sexy, but she can dominate. And that's who Charlotte is. And I think you got to let her live out that kind of Amazonian mentality because she's super talented. Yes, she's super good looking, but she is super talented and she needs to be able to allow to stand on her own, you know?
It's funny you say that because remember in NXT, she wasn't doing too much of that and then she had that match on Raw and all they wanted her to do was Ric Flair stuff. And then after that match, she went back down to NXT and she was doing more Ric Flair stuff than she had been doing before. But it wasn't as much as what she had done in that one match. But they were like telling her, woo more, chop more, you know, things like that. So I agree. She needs to be her own person. She can use some of the mannerisms, but don't be a clone. You have to be your own person. So, but like I said, you know, we'll see exactly where they go with this. And I don't think all is lost. You know, I kind of was of the mentality that they should have brought in Bayley at the same time. If you're going to go with this, you know, quote unquote takeover, if you're going to go with this women's revolution, then Bayley definitely deserves to be there. Two things, though. Obviously, she's recovering from the broken arm, even though she's worked on it some. But the other thing is, too, that I think she's going to end up staying down in NXT for a while longer so you can finish the story of her finally getting the win and getting the title against Sasha Banks. I think they'll do that at the takeover show on August 22nd in Brooklyn. And then they'll transition into the next crop of women that they want to focus on.
Who do you think? Well, this is not related to Bayley. I think you're probably right there. I think Sasha Banks is going to lose the title, and I think she's going to move up. So my question is really a follow-up to that. Who do you think wins the Divas title first? Sasha Banks, Charlotte, or Becky Lynch?
Charlotte.
Okay. I think a lot of people are convinced Sasha Banks is going to capture it first.
Maybe, but I just have this feeling that they want to, if they're going with this movement, I'm talking about strong women, personality-wise, figure-wise, everything, that I think that Charlotte is the one that, in their eyes, probably looks the part a little bit more right off the bat.
So yeah.
That's why I'll get Charlotte.
Okay.
Because she looks like Stephanie McMahon. They're both big women.
I just also, I mean, they're gotta be, you got to keep Stephanie out of there. I almost feel like Stephanie's meddling with that division. And because she's a woman, she's women's empowerment. And I think Stephanie has done phenomenal things. And she is. Stephanie McMahon is an intelligent businesswoman. But she's also a McMahon. And I think that gives her some leverage in the business that she might would not have otherwise. And I think it is a detriment to those women to have Stephanie introducing them. And we've talked about that. But I just, God, you got to get her away from that because it's only going to hurt.
Well, what's the whole thing? Stephanie's got to look strong. Stephanie's got to be put in these situations where she stands up over people. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where she was scolding Big Show and Kane. Now, you bad boys, you know, and so she's got to be the one that stands out. You know, she's the force that's bringing in this revolution of women in the WWE, just like tennis and soccer and the UFC, you know. So now, mind you, soccer, the women have been, the U.S. women have been very good for a while now. Was it the, I know they just came off the World Cup victory, but didn't they win that like in 1999 as well? Was that the Brandi Chastain year?
Sure. You act like I watch soccer very often.
Well, I couldn't remember. I mean, there was the infamous scene of the they won and the one Brandi Chastain, she pulled off her top and she was just wearing her sports bra.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
so,
right.
So you had that. And then women's tennis, I don't know, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe she's heard of, you know, Chrissy Everett, you know, who, you know, played tennis in the 70s and 80s. She kind of did pretty well in women's tennis. But she's been around too. But Serena Williams is the most dominant women's tennis player that is on the court right now, and she's just crushing competition. And it's funny that we had this happen where Serena just won Wimbledon over the weekend, and the women's soccer team is just coming off the World Cup victory. So, hey, you know what? Let's follow suit and let's bring up the women here from NXT to the main roster. So
there you go.
Because I get why they did that. I get the timing. I thought the timing was a little bit weird, and I thought maybe next week would have been the better time to do it because it would have been after Battleground. It would have been after the pay-per-view. It just seemed kind of weird to introduce them on a go-home show.
Well, and if you were going to bring them up on a go-home show, at least give them a match on the pay-per-view. Don't introduce them and then kind of leave it out there hanging.
Maybe we'll find out about that on SmackDown tonight.
I know. Whatever.
SmackDown, the show that has become more useless each and every week.
You can say that again.
Ah, man, SmackDown. I don't know what they're doing with that show anymore. It's
nothing.
They're absolutely doing nothing with it. So like they're trying to drive a stake in it right now or something. I don't get it. So let's see what else stood out on the show. Okay, so for I don't know how many weeks in a row we talked about the US Open Challenge and the good matches that have come out of that. So WWE has now got this formula where every week they're going to give guys that can actually have really good matches and give them time so they can have good matches on Raw. And we saw that again this week where now Cesaro, I guess, is kind of the workhorse of the men, or at least has been in the last few weeks. So Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Rusev had a very good match, really good match. Cesaro was given a lot of offense. Kevin Owens walked out in the middle of the match. The finish kind of came out of nowhere where Rusev was able to super kick Cesaro and got the pin. But they went like 24, 25 minutes. They had a really good match, and it was another nice way to use Cesaro. And I know he didn't win, but they're obviously giving him some opportunities, and he's standing out in these matches.
Yeah, and we talked about this. We talked about this last week, where you can have. They were so physical throughout this match, and it was so long, and they both looked just flat out exhausted. That was the story they were telling. So to have Rusev use basically the super kick to win, I kind of like that because it was basically like he just couldn't go anymore. They didn't even need a finisher. They didn't need the Acolyte. They just needed to hit a big move and get the pin. And it goes back to what we were saying last week. They overused finishers. They didn't need to do it last night. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, you know, but we'll see exactly what happens. You know, I like that they're using Cesaro in this manner, at least. And, I'm curious to see how they're going to use him going forward. If they're going to get more opportunities to talk, will this continue? But I like that. The strangest thing, one of the strangest things in the show that happened, in that the heel Rusev, who, by the way, is just coming off an injury, is probably still getting back his wind. And he went 25 minutes or whatever it was with Cesaro and Owens in a very physical match. He's literally out of breath. And it's not just a playing the role of it, but he probably is out of breath. And then he's like, oh, wait, you got to have another match now with John Cena. And typically it's the other way around, where it's the babyface who is the one that's put under pressure that has to go through a grueling match. And now the heel has got the upper hand on him going into their match, but it was reversed. So it's kind of weird the way they did that. And I think people were getting behind Rusev when he was getting beaten down by John Cena. And then out of nowhere, he was able to get the accolade on, and everybody was cheering that. But Owens hit the ring, kicked Rusev and gave him the pop-up power bomb. And once again, nobody's going to win that belt except for me. And that's coming at Battleground on Sunday. So it was just kind of weird the way that they did that, because it was kind of reversed, but I don't know what else they could have done there. Maybe just not set up the John Cena match and say, hey, this is going to be the number one contender for next week.
I think the best thing you could have done there is basically just have Rusev so exhausted, because that story had been told and he won a big match. Let's just be real. A triple threat match with Kevin Owens and Cesaro for the number one contendership was a big match. So let's say Rusev, who is a heel, it doesn't matter really if he loses in this next match, because he's already got a big win over Cesaro, who is a babyface. You let Rusev lose quickly to John Cena. John Cena comes in, they exchange a lockup. Within 4 minutes, he gets the attitude adjustment and wins. It makes John Cena look strong going into Sunday, which John Cena's been beat up quite a bit lately. He always looks strong because he's John Cena, but you can make John Cena still look strong against Owens, especially if Owens is going to get the win. And Rusev doesn't lose much because there's a built-in excuse for why he loses. And it also sets up Rusev being angry in coming weeks, saying, I lost, but I was exhausted. I could win if I could go again. So I just think they didn't need a big match between those two guys. We've seen it. Just let Cena get in there and get the win.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just kind of curious the way that they did all of that. But I like that they're giving time to guys and they're letting them have these really good matches. That's what people want to see. I mean, you only need one per week. I understand that even though it's a 3-hour show, there's only so much time. You're not going to fill it up with matches like that. You're going to have some other good matches, or hopefully good matches, but you're not going to give them as much time as you give this featured match. So I'm glad that they're going with that formula. And now we get to see after this week if the U.S. Open Challenge is going to continue. And, is John Cena going to be the champion? Is it going to be Owens? Will Owens continue that? So it remains to be seen, but I guess we'll find out. We did get Stardust back. I was a little bit disappointed in the way that he was used, because everybody wants to cheer Stardust. Okay. Everybody wants to cheer Cody Rhodes, especially following the passing of his legendary father. And they kept him as Stardust rather than making him back into Cody Rhodes. And he was a heel who cheated to beat Neville by pulling the trunks, which was kind of weird, and the crowd in Atlanta didn't know how to react and kind of sat on their hands. My understanding is that Cody really loves the character and wants to keep doing it. So he's fighting to keep the character, and they wanted to keep him as a heel. So that's why this is going on. And I guess he's also very, very hopeful to have this match with Arrow at SummerSlam.
That's not going to happen. There's a million years. DC will never let that happen. And even if you could get around it by saying Stephen Amell showing up as a hooded vigilante, right? You just give some kind of, well, this guy is known for fighting crime on the streets. We don't use his name. CW will never let that happen. They'll never let one of their superstars for their network who carries one of their programming blocks come on and risk his career. I mean, his acting career for a few months and risk all that money to wrestle a match.
You're probably right, but I know Amell really wants it. That doesn't necessarily mean he's getting it, but I'm not going to be surprised if he gets it, and I think he's at least going to be involved in some manner.
I think the more likely scenario is that down the road we get a Mel on there helping Sheamus out or supporting TMNT 2 in some way, shape, or form. I just don't see this a Mel thing panning out for SummerSlam. I could be wrong. Right. Happened once. I was wrong one time in the past.
Yeah. But... I don't know if I want to see Stardust anymore, especially because, you know, just a month ago or so, he was basically being used as a glorified jobber.
Yeah, I agree.
And even if they do something with him, I don't know how much life really is in the character. And I get it. Sometimes, like, you put all this time and effort into a character. You want to make it work. You want to see it through. And it's something different, something unique. It's something that's yours. But I don't know about this one. I mean, maybe he's just afraid of, if I'm Cody Rhodes, I'm just Cody Rhodes. And I want to be my own person. I don't want to live off a family name. I want to be my own guy who comes up with his own things and makes it or doesn't on my own values.
But he's not doing that with that character, though. The whole thing about Stardust is that is a ripoff of Goldust. So he's literally living in the shadow of his brother. Literally.
He is. But I mean, I think that Stardust is even... Well, when it comes to the galaxy and all that stuff, he's farther out there. When it came to the Attitude Era, Goldust was the farthest out character we've ever seen.
Sure.
I mean, remember, Dustin Rollins was going to get a boob job for that character, and they shut that down.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. So
I mean, I think they've restrained the characters more. I think Stardust could work as a babyface. I think having him as a heel, I mean, he used to be babyface, and they turned him mm-hmm. heel. I think that's what they lost him. I think as a babyface, you could bring him back and let him kind of connect with people a little bit more. And turn him back to Cody Rhodes at some point.
Some other quick notes from the show. That tag team match with Primetime Players against Mark Henry, Kofi Kingston. It was the Primetime Players and Mark Henry against the New Day. And Mark Henry got his win back. So the previous week when he got knocked out by Big Show in like a minute. So he got a big win back here. Because he was able to pin Xavier Woods.
Somebody going to get their ass kicked.
I guess. I'll say this, though, man. Two things. Titus O'Neil is a big dude, and he's just flinging bodies around. And New Day, those guys, you can tell, are having so much fun and enjoying what they are doing. And they're going out there, and they've got a little carte blanche, and they're having some fun, and they're making it work.
Yeah.
I just saw this video. I'm not watching Swerved on the network, but I saw, like, a little teaser trailer of it. Xavier Woods was sitting in the locker room with, it looked like a t-shirt gun, but it was filled with talcum, with baby powder. And when Kofi Kingston came in through the room and he was very sweaty, I think he just finished a match or something, he got shot in the face with the baby powder from his gun. That dude was blind and it was just smoke everywhere, it looked like. And this guy just got ravaged by
That's the one with Ashton Kutcher, right?
No, this is the WWE one on the network.
Right, where they make jokes on people like Ashton Kutcher does?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Ashton Kutcher is like guest hosting it? Or?
No, he's not.
He's like...
That was punked.
Voiceover?
No, he's not involved.
But it's like, that's the show though, right?
It's similar to that, but it doesn't involve Ashton Kutcher.
Is this the one with Bam Margera? What is it? Viva La Bam? That's this show, right?
Can't say that it is. That one, you pulled that one out of a hat right there. My God.
Oh. What else we got?
On
that note.
Got a match between Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt, but Roman Reigns had to ruin it. Oh, here's the other one, too.
No, don't. No.
Yes, I'm going to do it.
No.
What the hell did Barrett ever do wrong to WWE? Ah. Why? Why? He lost to R-Truth again. Oh, and by the way, they're having another match on the pre-show for Battleground to determine who is the real king. Mind you, King of the Ring is ruined forever.
I hope R-Truth wins. I think he'd be a great King of the Ring.
Ruined forever.
R-Truth? Why? You don't like R-Truth?
No.
What's up?
Well, I don't like that they just buried Barrett.
Yeah, buried Barrett. That's good. That'd make a good t-shirt, right? Buried Barrett.
That poor guy, man. Dear
God. Was so good. He was so good. I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Nope. Can't have that, man. Can't have that.
Do you reckon that's how Vince McMahon delivers his segment every week? Vince McMahon walks in, he's like, "Listen, Barrett, rah, that's a swipe left. Rah, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Get it? Because your segments suck. I'm Vince McMahon. Rah, I got bad cojones."
Okay, you want to talk about some Vince McMahon hilarity?
Yes, I always want to talk about some Vince McMahon. That's the only reason I do this show, is to talk about Vince McMahon hilarity.
Okay. Rah. I was talking with another friend of mine, and we were wondering if, like we had wondered, if Vince actually watched Beast in the East and what he thought of the streamers. I'm also wondering, does he watch NXT? Because Becky Lynch had a different outfit on Raw, and he's like, "Who's this third girl you want to bring up? Let me see her. Ah, great hair. Change the outfit." Because she, I mean, once again, she didn't have the steampunk glasses. She just changed her outfit like a couple months ago?
It was a month ago at the last NXT special. Okay,
yeah, it was a month ago.
That element thing, right?
Right. And then now here she is, and she's already changed again. She was wearing like gray knee-high socks with black trim and everything. I mean, she's still great, but it was weird that she already was in another outfit. And she doesn't have the glasses. She doesn't have the goggles. So there goes one piece of merchandise down the drain. So I'm wondering, is he watching NXT? And then there comes this little unbelievable tale that just tickles every part of your body. Okay. So Jim Ross's podcast, The Ross Report, he recently had Gail Kim on there. And JR was retelling the story about how Gail Kim got hired. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't heard the podcast.
Okay. So McMahon, the boss, Vincey, wasn't sold on Gail Kim because he wasn't sure if a superstar of Asian descent could get over.
Oh, my God.
So Jim Ross went into sell mode. I got to make this happen. I got to make this work. And I'm going to break this down in a way that will convince Vince McMahon to bring in Gail Kim. And he was talking about, hey, you know, McMahon was like, "Hey, man, so you want to bring in this Asian girl? I don't know about it. I don't know if it's going to work or whatever." And Jim Ross's counter was more than just, "She's a fantastic worker. She's a beautiful girl." It was also, "Well, Vince, you know, there's a lot of guys that like Asian women. And there's Asian porn sites." And that helped convince Vince McMahon to bring in Gail Kim.
Wow.
Does that mean that Vince did extensive research on this afterwards? Did he need somebody to follow up and erase his browser history?
That's right. He's like sitting in the office one day, laid up there in Stanford going, swipe left. So no, stay on this one. This is the one I like.
What do you think Vince McMahon's browser history looks like on his computer right now?
Well, he's probably using Internet Explorer still. Let's just clarify. He might still be using Netscape Navigator. I'm not entirely sure.
Is he on GeoCities websites?
Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty sure he's probably still looking at Playboy scans from the late 1990s on GeoCities sites. And and now he's added Asian women porn to that repertoire.
Sure.
And AC/DC. He's always got AC/DC.
Hey, man, bookmark. Don't be putting that in the AC/DC. That's
bookmark, AC/DC.com. Hey, man,
I went for a nice about 16, 17 mile, I think it was something like that, bike ride the other day, and I listened to AC/DC the entire time, okay?
You're not an old fogey like Vince McMahon is. Do you reckon Vince McMahon has WCW.com still bookmarked? I bet he does. AOL.
Yes, ECWWrestling.com bookmark. What are they doing over there, damn it?
They haven't updated their page in years.
I was going to make another joke, but it would have been really mean.
Do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I've been super mean. But
I bet Vince McMahon is still using...
Does Vince McMahon know about bookmarks?
I mean, probably not. You mean like website bookmarks?
Yes.
I mean, I probably have seen them before.
Does he know that there's another Star Wars movie coming out?
Probably not. He's like, "Phantom Menace. I'm excited about that one. That's going to be great."
What's this little green guy? I don't get him.
He's like, there's going to be
It's like Asian women. I just don't understand them.
What movie? If Vince McMahon goes to the movies, which you know he doesn't, but if he goes to the movies, what would Vince McMahon go see?
Goodfellas.
It's not in the movies anymore. Like if he went to the movies this weekend, he would go see like Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Amy Poehler, I love her. She's my favorite.
So are you saying that we'd have a character where they'd be thinking out loud in the back, like looking into the mirror, and you could hear the different personalities or parts of that person speaking to them?
They did a whole thing on that back whenever ECW was on Sci-Fi, and it was that crappy WWE version of it. They actually had segments where they would go into people's thoughts. Do you remember that? And it would have a little wavy screen, and it was like, and then they would.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, like I understand it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be 100% realistic all the time, but God, you can overscript yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. What else is going on? Oh, so the Undertaker is working out. His trainer was talking about it on Twitter and took a picture of him. Where Taker's looking good. You know, he's got the biceps going, man. He's pumped and he's working out. And with all the mentions of him on TV recently, people are now wondering, like, oh, so I expect Taker to be at WrestleMania next year, but could we see him sooner than that? Do you think there's even an outside chance Undertaker is back for a match at SummerSlam?
Nope. Nope.
I don't either, but...
Nope. He went to the gym. Big freaking whoop, people. Okay? Doesn't mean he's going to be wrestling in a month. He wrestles at WrestleMania once a year. There's a mystique about it, okay? And he gets paid big bucks to do it. He's got no reason to show up at SummerSlam. Not this late in his career.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there until WrestleMania. And I'm still convinced that when it comes to WrestleMania, it will be his last one, and he'll face John Cena.
You think that's the story?
Yes.
Does John Cena win?
Yes.
Okay. So we're really convinced that Sting is not going to be coming back.
Oh, no. I think Sting will come back. I just don't think that he will face John Cena.
Who does Sting face?
Or face Taker. I don't know. I mean, he's still got a beef with Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah. That seems like a great match.
I don't think we're getting that. I think we're going to get the triple threat between all three members of the Shield.
DX versus NWO. After all these years, they settle the score once and for all with Sting for some reason.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't, it's funny because I know the Observer recently reported that Vince already has in his mind like six matches for Mania. And I really have no idea other than I think Taker and Cena, and I think maybe that triple threat match. Can't say that because I still think it might be Reigns against Brock.
Okay, Reigns at WrestleMania again.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's go through Battleground though.
Oh, did you? Are we doing the news segment? I haven't heard the music yet. Are we doing news? News and reviews.
We don't have any music.
News and reviews. Okay. Okay. So, did you hear that bizarre story about Alberto Del Rio over the weekend, or Alberto El Patron, as?
Yeah. Trust me, I've heard about it.
So, like, they found him, right? He's okay.
He's okay. I mean, so he went AWOL for a show he was supposed to do that was supporting autism, and he didn't. I guess he didn't make the flight, and he no-showed it. And the promoter was like, don't know what happened. We're trying to find out. And then later it was like, well, we heard he's okay, but he's dealing with some stuff. And, you know,
we wanted... It was like a day later, though. It wasn't just like a few hours. It was right. Like for a day, people didn't know where he was, and nobody could comment on it.
Right. And the, you know, the promoter, rightfully so, wants his deposit back and would like the amount for the plane... for the flight refunded.
Yep.
So the belief is that, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but he's going through some personal things and didn't make the show. And supposedly he or his camp might release a statement about it here pretty soon.
We're on it.
Just waiting on that.
Breaking news.
So yeah, we're waiting to see if that happens, what happens. So we'll see. I've heard different things, but I don't want to make any allegations or throw something out there that's not true. But apparently he is dealing with some personal things.
And of course, in our weekly smut segment of the week.
Ooh, smut.
If you're a fan of mid-90s WWF divas, you will rejoice in the fact that Sunny, a.k.a. Tammy Lynn Stitch, is rumored to be, according to TMZ, signing a six-figure porn offer with some porn Vivid, I guess. And according to TMZ, this story gets bizarre too, but there's a snag. Hirsch really wants the scene set in a wrestling ring, but Sonny thinks Hirsch is the owner of Vivid.
Wait, can I call you on something here?
Sure.
This is not new news.
Yeah, it is. Oh, was it not?
This has been out there for like a month.
Oh, you're right. This is dated back in...
Get your porn stories right, okay, Chief?
Sorry.
If you want the latest story about
it's her. All these Asian women. I'm sorry.
You want the latest story on Sunny, why don't you talk about the story about how she got arrested for a DUI at a Walmart parking lot the other night with a blood alcohol level about three times the legal amount?
Well, that's where I was heading with this whole segment was I
saw
this...
I encapsulated it so much quicker, though?
Shut up. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do the news?
I'm not even looking at the story and I know how to do it quicker.
Why don't you do the news next time, okay?
Because we didn't put together the news. We're just kind of throwing stuff against the wall.
We see what sticks every week. Happens to be my alcohol habit. That's the only thing that's really carried us through these last few months together.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for a drawing?
We got to do a drawing, don't we?
Are we ready for that? I got the names in a hat. I got the numbers in a hat down here.
Ooh. By the way, can I tell you about my experience on last Friday?
Do I have any other choice? I'm kind of stuck here with you.
Yes.
Okay.
It's last Friday. The Orlando Armory, where the stars of NXT were on display. Yes. NXT at the Orlando Armory. It's small. There's no concessions, and there's no air conditioning, despite it being in Florida in the middle of the summer. Yeah.
Sounds painful.
I went to the NXT show. It got toasty, but it was still fun. I knew there was no concession, so I actually brought a beverage with me. And I learned another valuable lesson, too. If you're going to an NXT show at a small building, don't show up basically at bell time. Because one, you might almost get run over by Lita. And two, you'll have a hell of a time finding a parking spot. And you'll end up making a parking spot that isn't one when you park basically backed up against a tree that is separating two different parts of the lot with your car sticking way out.
Wow. That's a story, man. Wait, yeah. were the Tough Enough kids there?
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay. You said Lita, so.
Yes.
I assume.
It was funny because, like, she parked her car and she must have run in the building because I walked inside and, like, a minute later, they were like, hey, let's bring out the couple of the trainers from Tough Enough. Here's Billy Gunn and Lita. And it was like, she just pulled up in the car. But yeah, they did that and they introduced the Tough Enough people and they sat out and they watched the show. Yep, they were all there.
Interesting.
Like, yes. And they were obviously there on Monday night as well and got no reaction except for ZZ.
Dumb.
ZZ. Yeah.
All right. What other news we got?
Are you going to go watch Trainwreck this week?
Trainwreck?
Starring John Cena.
Does that come out in real theaters?
Yes.
Wait.
That's a Judd Apatow movie.
Oh, that's right. It is. Actually, I might. That's right. I do remember seeing.
God.
No, it's okay. I got it now. I remember now.
I know your mind is totally wrapped on Comic-Con still, but move past it.
Are we doing our Cheap Pops moment? Can we talk about Cheap Pops? Let's save that for after the break.
Did you watch the Walking Dead trailer yet?
Let's save it for after the break.
Have you seen Star Wars trailer yet? Did you see Batman v Superman trailer yet? How about Suicide Squad? Suicide Squad!
You're ruining our entire Cheap Pops moment. Stop. Gotta draw a name from a hat and see who wins a copy of WWE 2K15 for this one. What about that episode of True Detective this week, huh? What about that?
That was intense at the end, wasn't it?
I will say this.
I thought Michael Mann took over that broadcast at the end, and he was doing the scene from Heat.
I will say this. I think that True Detective had a fun episode, but I don't think it undoes some of the sins that have been piling up over the last 4 weeks.
Wow. Look at this guy, man. Not a fan of the True Detective.
Neither
are the guys from a Hollywood Perspective, some Grantland. They hated this week's show.
Well, I didn't hate it like they did. I read the review, and I think they get some points right. I didn't hate it. I just think that it could use some work overall. I think Nick Pizzolatto, or whatever the hell his name is, needs to refine his craft a little bit. Speaking of craft, my craft beer is empty.
Oh.
And I have another beer, my standby beer.
The can of Miller Lite.
The Miller, the fancy Miller Lite, a fine pilsner. Here on standby for our name drawing from a hat. So I need to draw a name from a hat so I can crack up my beer.
By the way, we want to thank everybody for supporting us on Patreon. If you could, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. That's where you can support us, whether it's $1 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, or more. We have different levels that are set up, and we appreciate everybody for doing that. By supporting us on Patreon, that allows us to keep doing what we're doing and keep doing Between the Ropes and doing some more stuff with it. Helps pay the bills. We all have bills that we have to pay. We do too, when it comes to server costs and website and different things like that. And if we want to spend our time not doing other jobs and doing Between the Ropes, we need your support. So if you like what we do, if you see a lot of value in what we do, please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, and you can support us there. By the way, like I said, we have some different tiers. For $5 a month, we'll follow you on everything social media. For $15 a month, we'll have an exclusive Google Hangout. And if you pledge $25 a month, you'll get all of those things plus an official Between the Ropes t-shirt. So we do have some new supporters, some new people that have pledged to us on Patreon this past week. One of them, I apologize. Kyle, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to butcher your name right now. Kyle, though, pledged $25. And I totally appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. You're going to be getting the t-shirt and everything else that comes with that. Kyle, I'm going to try this. Mayor Muffinkam. Is that close enough? I hope it is, Kyle. But I appreciate it. Kyle supporting us. And then also a couple other people. Hector Pena now supporting us for $3 a week. Big respect to you, Hector. And also Bill Dixon for $5 a week. So a couple of new pledges here. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate it. For everybody that pledges out there, huge amounts of respect for helping us out. And like I said, if you go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, you can support us as well. And one of the extras that we're doing each and every week now is we're doing a giveaway here on the live broadcast for people that are supporting us on Patreon. Last week, we gave away a PC code for WWE 2K15. We've got another one to give away this week.
I think it's also worth pointing out, if you did subscribe to us at the $15 level, we are in plans to set up that first monthly Google Hangout with you, an exclusive. It'll be a pretty small, cozy group. We'll be reaching out to you pretty soon, but we haven't forgot about you. We have to wait till all the Patreon processes go through and everything kind of comes through before we do that. But we'll be getting up with you within the next week or so to set that up with you both, and we're excited about that exclusive $15, at least $15 members level Hangout. But to the game code. As always, I brought back the trusty WrestleMania 31. I'm sorry, we don't number WrestleManias anymore, so just the trusty WrestleMania hat. Mm. And got some names in here. If you hear me shaking that around, listen. Your name is in there if you subscribe to us.
Shake.
And I'm going to look away, and pull a number. We're doing numbers this week, right?
Yes.
You got a list numbers of people.
Got it.
Let's see here. Look away. It's a hard one to draw out here. Okay, let's see here. What do we got? We got number 22.
Oh, geez.
Hold on. So you believe me at home. See that right there? The 22. Who is it, Brian? Who wins our exclusive copy of WWE 2K15?
That would be, let me look over my list here. That would be Aiden Reichardt.
All right, buddy. This one's for you. Aiden, congratulations.
You have to shotgun that thing now? Or
yes, it's gone.
You poking a hole in the bottom?
Right.
Something I've never done before in my life.
I believe that.
But
actually, no, that's not true. I've shotgunned a beer, but that's okay. It's another story for another day.
I'm sure it is. So congratulations, Aiden. We'll be getting in touch with you and hooking you up with that coat. And we'll have more giveaways next week for everybody that's supporting us on Patreon. So thank you, everybody, for doing that. And if you haven't signed up yet, like we said, just go to patreon.com/between the ropes. You can support us there for as little $1 a month, which goes a long way in helping us continue to do Between the Ropes and makes you eligible to get some goodies as well. So,
and because you guys have been so awesome, just so you know, this Sunday's one-man show, Wiseman, Wiseman, and Wiseman. That's right, three of me. We will be putting that into an audio format come Monday if you are one of those few audio-only subscribers because you guys have all been so generous in your donations. So we appreciate it.
By the way, it's going to be like, if you've ever seen the 70s version of William Shatner singing Rocket Man, that's kind of what the podcast I envision for Sunday, since Michael is going to be doing it by himself, with himself, for himself.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Let's get to some questions. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And you can do it on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/Between the Ropes. And, of course, we have the chat room going on right now on YouTube.
There we go. And let's keep it clean in the chat room. If you do inappropriate stuff, I will report you to the YouTube authorities, and I hear they're worse than the normal authorities. So, you know, some people are
we're coming for you.
All right. Questions. John Petterhorn Opschel writes in. Yes, Barry.
It's Peter.
Barry, good question. He's asking, is the post-game show straight after the pay-per-view on Sunday? Yes, it is. It will be at 11:05, 5 minutes after, roughly.
And by the way, Michael will announce some other people that are not himself that will be joining him for that broadcast. Like I said before, I unfortunately cannot make it because I will be out of town. But Michael and a co-host or two will be handling the duties.
That's right. You never know who I'm going to announce. It's going to be Michael Wiseman, Michael A. Wiseman, Mikey Wiseman, the real Wiseman. That is at the real Wiseman on Twitter, and I would appreciate a follow if you can give me one there.
And by the way, if anybody is curious why I can't make it, I made plans months ago, before I knew Battleground was a Sunday, where I am going to Boston, and on Sunday night, while everybody is watching Battleground, I'll be watching the Foo Fighters at Fenway Park.
Will you be back by Tuesday for this show?
Yes, I will, actually. Okay.
That's all I care about.
Dude, I'm getting back in town before Raw on Monday night.
Okay.
Like, I think I land like at 5:30 Eastern on Monday night. So by the time I get home, I have enough time to like just throw all my clothes out of my luggage into the hamper, chill out for a minute, and then I can start watching Raw.
I also wanted to give a shout out to somebody, Matthew Schaefer. He tweeted me last week, said, just joined Twitter. I've listened to Brian Fritz for over 11 years, and yet your constant Twitter plug was the first thing I remembered. And he followed me pretty much immediately. This guy is awesome. You can be just like Matthew, and that is at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. And that's it. That's our show for the day, folks.
There you go.
All right. Here we go. Really, though, we have some questions. You can ask us questions at all times on Facebook, facebook.com/between the ropes. John Petterhorn Oswald writes in, how do you think Global Force Wrestling will be financed? Looks like Jarrett wants to get directly to TV instead of building it up more slowly, so where will they get the money? My impression is that TNA would have folded a long time ago had it not been for Panda Energy and the Carter family, but will Jarrett get anyone to finance GFW in the same way? Will it be Toby Keith?
That's a very good question. I don't know if Toby's going to do it or not. I mean, he's been rumored. Jeff has brought him up the past. I think it all depends on, do they have a television deal in place? And what exactly would that entail? Because if you don't have TV, then what do you really have? And that's the big thing. I mean, they're doing a TV taping coming up here, yet they don't have TV locked in. And I mean, we can all sit here and wonder out loud, are they going to be taking over the TNA time slot, or what exactly is happening with that as they do this invasion angle that's coming up here? I have no idea. They're going to need money. I don't know where the money is coming from. I mean, the shows that they're running right now, they're doing on a very cheap scale, and then they're going to be doing these TV tapings. So they've got to have something in place before I think a real big, you know, person with the money, somebody that can really handle the financing, will come on board. And maybe that is Toby Keith. Maybe he'll be impressed by it. But let's see if they get TV, whether it's Destination America. Do they have to go with another model? Like, can they, I doubt it, but could they get on Netflix? Could they get on Hulu? Would they really have to go with the model of a YouTube channel, which I don't think would work at all for them. But what kind of model do they have to go for right now if they do not get a traditional TV station?
I think it is interesting that Jarrett's pushing pretty hard right now, and I think they're doing some of the things that are right. They're bringing in some big names. I think Jarrett's got a good mind for the business. Obviously, he's one of those wrestling families. But they do need an outside financer if they want to be as big, have that same big image that TNA has right now. It could be Toby Keith. I think that's fallen through before. But, you know, Jarrett obviously has some confidence in what's going on for him to be announcing so many things. They've announced their big show for August in Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. And they've got some big stuff in the works. So Jarrett knows more than he's letting on. Let's put it that way.
And cheap plug, coming up on Wednesday afternoon, Jeff Jarrett will be a guest here at the Between the Ropes podcast.
So can we get him on the flagship for a 10-minute segment 1 week? Follow-up question. Ooh. Can we get JTG on the flagship here 1 week?
It's funny that you asked that because we haven't talked about this today, but that is being worked on. There is an outside chance. I hate to try to make promises or even bring this up, but I've already kind of opened the door. There is a chance JTG could join us next week.
What? Next week?
Maybe. I'm working on it.
Okay, you keep on working on it.
I'm talking to his people. They're talking to my people, which is me. We're seeing what happens.
All right. Next question. Andreas Papadinas. Hi, do you think Jim Cornette will ever be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? And what is his relationship with WWE?
I don't think he has one right now because he doesn't watch their shows and he doesn't like them. He doesn't like their programming. Will he ever get inducted? Possibly. But if he does, I don't think it would just be him. I think it would be with the Midnight Express.
Yep, I agree. I think he will be. He's too big of a name to be left out of the Hall of Fame. And people know Jim Cornette. He's from that old era of wrestling. He'll be in one day, but I think it will be a number of years still yet.
I can just see it that they're going, you're getting inducted, and Bobby Eaton's about to talk, and Bobby says like three words, and Jim says, you know, stop hogging up all the mic time, you know, and he just takes it over from there.
All right. Francis writes in, starts off with, does Global Force Wrestling really need to have four titles at launch?
Well, that's an interesting question. Probably not, but that's what they're doing. Anybody hasn't heard, they are doing a bunch of belts. I'm bringing it up right now to get the exact names of all the belts.
I think it's okay. I mean,
by the way, the TV show that they do not have yet is going to be titled Amped. So now you won't know if you're actually getting ready to watch a wrestling show or drink a Mountain Dew.
That's also what T-Mobile calls their big announcements for their carrier service. So they have these weekly Amped announcements. And so, you know, maybe you're watching an announcement about T-Mobile wireless and it'll finally work inside of buildings.
They're going to have the global championship, the next gen championship, which is kind of their version of the X Division championship.
Or the NXT championship.
Sure. The women's championship. And I believe the tag team championship.
That's not too many. I think those all divide up very well. You know what I mean?
I was not a fan of the X Division Championship, and I'm not a fan of the Next Gen Championship. And the reason why is because it limits kind of the meaning of it, because they talk about it's for up-and-comers and the new faces. Well, why can't they win the big title? And does that limit who's eligible for that title? I don't like to have the limits involved there. I'd rather it just be a television title or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that does hurt a little bit, but I do like the idea that they're doing something different. I think in WWE right now you have these championships that all kind of mean the same thing. You have a mid-card title and a main event title, and I think you can lose something by having all that. So I like meaningful championships. That's why I loved the hardcore title back in the day, you know?
Well, they've got tapings are coming up. Las Vegas, July 24th. Las Vegas, August 21st. And Las Vegas, October 23rd.
Well, there you go.
By the way, you want to know what the card is for the one coming up here?
I'd love to.
Okay. If it comes up here on my computer, I can tell you. Hold on 1 second. Come on.
Go for it to go. Go for it to go.
Well, their site loads kind of slow because they got so many graphics on it. I'll bring that up with Jeff tomorrow. We know that they're going to have the Global Championship Tournament, and it's going to feature Bobby Roode. Oh, and Eric Young laid out Jeff Jarrett at one of their recent shows they did. Let's see. Tournament. Brian Myers, formerly Kurt Hawkins, takes on Chris Mordetsky, formerly Chris Masters. Bobby Roode is going to face somebody known as TBA. Congo Kong is taking on Nick Aldis. You might know him as Magnus. Tag team tournament, Chris Sabin and Kushida against Reno Scum. They're doing the Bollywood Boys against the Akbars. Next Gen Championship Tournament, PJ Black against Sonata. Jigsaw against Sanjay Dutt. And then the Women's Championship Tournament, Christy Von Erie versus Mickie James versus Lady Tapa. And Bestia 666, Blood Eagle and Steve Payne versus Phoenix Star, Zokri and Mysterioso Jr. That's a mouthful.
There you go. There you go.
And I don't even know who's doing play-by-play. I mean, we know Chael Sonnen is involved, but I don't know who else is on the broadcast.
What else we got?
You're the one that handles the questions. You tell me, oh, man.
That's right. Wow. Okay. Let's see here. I got a lot of good questions this week. I'm trying to break through all these and see what we can bring up. Nefmania writes in the chat room, do you guys think now is the right time to put Heyman with Rollins? I feel it is a win-win situation due to Rollins' sleeper promos.
I don't think they're ever going to split Heyman and Lesnar. And it's something that even in talking to Heyman WrestleMania weekend, I'd wondered and I asked him about it and he made it sound like no. And I think they would have done it already if they were going to do it. Maybe they will right before Lesnar wraps up with WWE, but I think Brock definitely wants Paul with him at all times to be his mouthpiece. And I don't think he wants to split. I don't think Paul wants to split. I think that's the main reason why Paul is still involved there is because he likes working with his best friend and Brock. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yep. I tend to agree. I think the missed opportunity is there. So I don't think it's going to happen at this point. Losing my voice. We've been going an hour and a half here. What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I thought you had another question. Otherwise, we could have wrapped it up.
Oh, we do have more questions. Sorry. I'm busy cleaning up. I'm cleaning up the chat room, man. Listen, there have been some harassing people.
Yeah, what is going on in there, man?
I got it on lockdown. So if you want to come in and harass the chat room, let me tell you something. Wiseman is slaying some smackdown on some candy rear ends. Hold on to your butts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll give you one more question here. Barry Doby writes in, and this would be a good time for us to talk a little bit about Battleground. Who is going to help Rollins keep the title at Battleground?
I don't know. I don't know because I can't see him winning clean. Is Triple H going to try to help him and it backfires?
Yeah, I think it would be how you set up a possible match for them at SummerSlam. I think that's a possibility.
Well, let's talk about that then. Okay, so let's talk about Battleground and give some quick predictions, okay? Do you want to start right there at the top of the card or do you want to start with the lower matches? Okay.
Let's do it.
We got Brock against Seth. Who do you think is leaving with the title?
I think Brock Lesnar is. And I think they're going to swerve me on that and let Seth Rollins keep it, but I think Brock Lesnar's walking away with it.
See, this is where I wonder why they're going to do this because I don't like seeing a DQ finish. I don't like seeing countout finish. But at the same time, how could Rollins cheat to beat Lesnar? And would it make sense? Would it not be too wishy-washy? Is there going to be a ref bump, which I don't want to see? How do they do it? you know, where Rollins retains. So that's going to be the whole thing, is the execution of it. But I think Seth is going to leave as a champion.
Okay, fair enough. We're split on that one. Let's just run it down, because Christian Piazza has got a burning question for us we got to get to before we get out of here.
Well, why don't you ask that little question, and then we'll run down the rest.
Okay. Hey, what about Axel Mania and Macho Mandel? What's going on with them? And he's asked this like 5 times, so I got to bring it up.
What's happened with them? I think WWE just said, hell with it. We're done with using that gimmick. It's run its course.
It was kind of dumb. It was kind of dumb.
I still kind of like that. Axel Mania had its moments. There was a couple times when he was ripping his shirt, and the look on his face was unreal. And I was glad that they had something there for Curtis Axel, who I know he's not the most charismatic guy, but he's a really good guy in the ring. And I think there's a role for him. And I think he showed a lot more charisma doing that than a lot of people thought he had.
Yep. I agree. And I think it's a shame that they can't capitalize on him even more, because he's super talented.
Okay. So let's run through the rest of these real quick. John Cena against Kevin Owens.
I'm taking
Kevin Owens. I'm taking Owens.
Okay, I'll take John Cena. I've taken the no finish. There's no finish. A non-clean finish.
Primetime players against the New Day for the tag team titles. I think we're going to see new tag champs.
Primetime players.
So we're split again.
Yep.
Jeez, what's going on here? IC title, Ryback, Big Show, Miz.
Ryback. Ooh. The Miz. No, I'm taking The Miz.
I was
going to
take The Miz.
No, you can't have him. He's mine.
By the way, on my sporting news column today, I said that The Miz, who I've always backed, I've always defended through the tough times and everything, I called him out for being extremely annoying, and I'm tired of it because of him being on the broadcast, and especially when he grabs the house mic and is like yelling at guys while they're having a match, that I can't stand the current Miz. But I'm going to pick him for this match. Yeah.
He can't stand you either, okay? It's all good. It's okay.
I think he's going to steal a win here. I think he's going to steal the win.
We're in mutual agreement. You are annoying, and neither one of us can stand you.
So. Randy Orton against Sheamus.
Oh, my God. Why are we having this match? Randy Orton.
I'm going to take Sheamus because he lost on Monday, so he'll get his win back.
If you have if you have the briefcase, it's proven. You don't need to win a match.
That's the problem. He needs to win matches to prove that he deserves to have the briefcase and make a big deal that this guy's winning matches and he has the briefcase. Hmm. Otherwise, it makes him look weak. Bray Wyatt against Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
And the pre-show match, King Barrett against R-Truth to see who truly deserves the crown.
King Barrett.
So we disagreed on about half the matches, more than half.
Okay. Hey, let's put money on it.
Oh, we should. How about you bet money and I bet beer?
How does that?
Like, if I win, you have to give me money. If you win, I have to pay you in beer.
What if we do the reverse of that? Give me money, and if you win, I give you beer.
No, because you know. I'll give you the beer because I'm not a big beer drinker.
You have a beer that I can give you already, so we're good. That's not a thing that I have.
You've got money. Trust me. You've got some money. I know you do. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up, but we do appreciate everybody.
That's my line. And on that note, there we go.
There it is. So we're going to wrap it up. But we do appreciate everybody for watching here to the live broadcast and for listening. Whether you are watching us live or listening to the audio version of the podcast, we appreciate it. If you haven't already subscribed to us here on YouTube, please do. Subscribe, like our videos, share them, and feel free to make comments as well. And also, if you want the audio version of our podcast with various interviews that we do, and if you miss this, we'll put it on the audio version as well. Subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher, and please rate us and review us there. Check us out online at BetweenTheRopes.com, and please support us on Patreon. Go to Patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes. Even for a little as $1 a month, it goes a long way in helping us. And once again, thank you to everybody that is already supporting us there on Patreon. So, thanks again, everybody. We'll be back later in the week. We got some podcasts coming up. Jeff Jarrett is going to be joining in. I think, I don't know for a fact, but maybe I'm going to be speaking with whoever gets eliminated from Tough Enough again this week, like I have the first 3 weeks of that show. And maybe somebody else is going to be joining. I'm trying to see what else is going on. So make sure to listen to the audio podcast as well. We'll be back on Sunday night, immediately following Battleground. Mike will be back talking about Battleground, 11:05 p.m. Eastern, immediately following the pay-per-view. You can join in for the live broadcast, the Battleground post-game show. Mike will have some other special guests with him. So he's Michael Wiseman. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks again for joining us here on Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.